All right, and welcome to the Gulf Coast Growth Show Virtual Edition. I'm your host, Jason Lee. My co-host, Clint Aiken, is out and about trying to make things happen for the best of his ability in today's current environment. Again, grateful to be here today. We're here with the co-chair of the Growth Task Force Committee, also a leader inside of ABGI, Craig LeGrette, and then his partner, or one of the senior advisors inside of his firm, Robert Stabell, and Robert's dialed in. And we are here to share a little information. So again, as a reminder, the Economic Alliance's core focus is to bring value and serve its stakeholders, but also all the individuals, members, business owners, people who serve the Gulf Coast port region, okay? And our show is about growth. And so that's been stagnated here in the last few weeks. We're still seeing some great things happen across the region. And in the port region, there are still work orders and things that are happening. But we all know that finding money, creating opportunity and capital over the next few months is going to be critical. So we're excited to share some of the great work that Craig and Bob are doing to bring value to their clients. So first and foremost, I'm going to introduce these two gentlemen, have them give a quick update of who they are, tell a little bit about their story. And then, so I'll let Craig go first. I'll let Bob tell his story and then also tell the background and kind of overarching theme of what ABGI does. And then we'll talk a little bit about their process. So Craig, please fire away. Let us know what you're up to, man.
Yeah. Thank you for having us, Jason. We appreciate the opportunity to be on the show. Really what we want to do today is kind of share a message that we have for a lot of the business owners that are really struggling at this time. You know, ABGI is a tax credit consulting firm. We're based in the Galleria. What we do is help companies capture credits and incentives in reference to their taxes. The R&D credit's been around for quite some time. It's a very lucrative opportunity for a lot of businesses during the time that we're facing now to actually get cash flow back into the company. And it's money that they've already spent. They're just getting it back from the IRS.
Well, anytime you can get money back from the IRS, that sounds like a winner. Sounds like good stuff. And Bob, I'm going to turn it over to you. I know you guys have kind of a broad offering and things that you're doing, but I know you guys were a little ahead of the curve. And when this thing started to roll out and being aggressive to try to go out and find ways you could help serve business owners, again, tell us about the backdrop of the company. Tell us a little bit about your role there, and then tell us what you guys have been up to in kind of in your space and the work that you're doing there at the firm.
Sure. Well, in its original inception, ABGI USA was founded as what's called a specialized tax credit consulting firm. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, you have a family doctor like your CPA that takes care of your day-to-day needs, but then you need specialists that can look at certain areas that are either highly legal or highly technical. But what was really funny was that the beginning of the year, our CEO saw that there could be potential for this, and so we began to look for ways to help small businesses survive in the event of the crisis. So not only through our core abilities of doing tax credits and other things we knew, we ran out and formed partnerships, including with the SBA long before the Payroll Protection Program, and with other vendors and suppliers that we knew could find solutions to help people keep their doors open and help generate cash. So now, you know, through the grace of God, our program evolved to where we can look at a company's balance sheet, we can look at their current financials, and we can make recommendations to help them get cash in multiple ways. And that cash is frankly just sitting there. It already belongs to them. It's just they don't know how to read between the lines like we do.
Fantastic. And so I think you hit the nail on the head when you described the difference between a generalist and a specialist. And it doesn't take away value from the generalist. There's a lot of great generalists who do good work in what it is that they're responsible for. But when you think of the scope of business in itself, and you break it down to anything, for example, sports or any type of analogy, the reality is inside of a basketball team or a professional team, they have trainers who focus specifically on making you faster. They have quarterback coaches. They have key coaches. So there's somebody specific to each individual segment. So it sounds like you guys are really zeroed in on finding the credits, and that helps you guys achieve success there. Now, Craig, I know you've recently had some success stories. I know even while things are getting disrupted, every time we talk, you're busy, right? You're helping a client. You're actively involved because people need this stuff. It might not be immediate, but give me some case studies or examples of things that are happening right now that are in the cooker Again, we know you can't share an exact specific deal based on client confidentiality, but maybe an overarching kind of general case study. And then tell us a little about the process and the timeline.
Yeah, so I'll give you a couple of examples real quick. In the oil and gas space, a couple of machine shops that deal in oil and gas, recently we completed two studies, both down in South Texas. One company is about 35-man operation. They received about $380,000 in refunds from the IRS based on the work that they were doing. And the second client had about 160 employees. They received about $780,000 in refunds. Now, these are just machine shops. They're not developing the actual product, but they determine what their process is going to be to manufacture that component or that widget for their client. So there's a lot of R&D that takes place on that side that we are able to capture those credits for the client. So the process is essentially, we do a phase one analysis upfront for the client at no cost. So we want to know exactly what that credit looks like and what the utilization of that credit would be for the client before they're financially committed to us.
So that process takes... Go ahead.
The process takes about 2 weeks. What we'll do is take a look at the tax returns, some of the payroll data, some of the contracts that they have, and then come back with a number of an estimate for that credit.
Great. And so I know people are really disrupted right now with a lot of moving pieces. It's hard to get them to focus, but this could be very helpful to them. It's standard, right? People are trying to figure out how to keep their employees working, how to keep POs coming, things like that. So help me understand how much labor is required on the business owner or the accountant team. How much work are they going to have to take on in this process, or is it something that you guys can pretty much alleviate the load from?
Yeah, so we do all the heavy lifting for the client. On a company, the two companies I previously mentioned, it was no more than 15 hours on the company's team for those projects.
So 15 hours client, for $400,000 bucks, not a bad deal.
Right. The larger the client, obviously, the more hours they're going to put into it. But typically, it's no more than 25 for even a larger company.
Fantastic. And then with that being said, I had another question regarding manufacturing and maybe specifically you use that term, but R&D, right? So I think a lot of people don't realize how much R&D is actually happening inside their organization without their unbeknownst to them, right? Bob?
If I may, the one problem with using the word research and development is there's been way too much of a focus on that word research. And so people are thinking that lab coats and microscopes, when a recent tax case from 2 years ago stated that more, quote, R&D occurs on the shop floor, end quote, that would ever even occur in a laboratory, because this was an incentive designed to create jobs for manufacturers, not just the traditional, what you would consider to be research companies. So we're trying to encourage everybody that if you create anything, the focus needs to be on development, and it needs to be focused on the internal process improvements, the changes you make on a day-to-day basis, the pivots you have to make on a day-to-day basis. And this was designed so that you could take advantage of all that to save jobs in the United States. That's the whole reason this was created. So we want companies to understand that even if they think they're taking the credit now, let us take a second look, because the laws changed so rapidly, and especially in the last 2 years, that they could still be leaving 50 cents on the dollar on the table, even if they're taking advantage of just this one incentive, let alone what we may find elsewhere.
Absolutely. And you just hit the nail on the head. I think if I could carve out 15 minutes – on the phone with one of you guys, just to better understand what the R&D looks like inside of my company, whether it's worth having a further conversation, is probably an ample usage of my time, right?
Absolutely.
And again, with PPP money, probably we're being kind of a lottery deal right now, and in some instances people are getting it quickly, in some instances it's taking a while. this is money that if it's there, it's there to be had. And there's no, correct me if I'm wrong, these credits have been around for a long time. There are things that you guys have been doing for the last several years. None of that stuff's changing now. And so if there's an opportunity ever to stop and try to find some money that could be hitting you by the third quarter, right, this would be a great time.
Jason, you summed it up better than Craig and I ever could, frankly, with what you just said.
Fantastic. Bob, I know you've got a pretty extensive track record here. You've been involved with helping people, especially through finances and serving them over the last few years. This probably isn't your first rodeo down, you know, in this type of environment. So perhaps some parting words that you would share from some wisdom as to, you know, what you think and how you think business owners and your firm can be collaborative, or, you know, just in general, like let's say you even remove your firm. Let's just hear from you on what you've seen and experienced in the past, and then maybe some, you know, best practices for individuals that are running a company trying to figure out how they're going to weather the storm in the next 12 months. Love to get your thoughts and ideas on that.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you know, I grew up in Clear Lake, and my father worked in the chemical plants in Deer Park, right there on the ship channel. And one of the things that Houston has always proven is that we always rise, and we've always been Houston strong. The thing we have to remember is that we are all in this together. Houstonians have always come together. And as the more and more that we work together, the greater things that we achieve. And we've proven that through oil booms, through oil busts, through hurricanes, through storms, through power failures, through swine flu. Now we're dealing with COVID. To assume Houston's not going to rise again out of this crisis is just a misassumption, because we always win. And that's something we need to continue to do. But to plan ahead and not freeze is one of the most important things. And unfortunately, people are scared right now. And what they have to remember is they need to stop freezing and planning ahead, the knowing that Houston will recover, because we always do. And 30-year track record in this industry and working in this exact area has proven it time and time again. So stay faithful, stay strong, think ahead, and come up with a plan, and we'll help. But most importantly, don't freeze and don't be afraid. We've been through worse before, and we always come through it together.
Amen. Craig, anything else you want to add?
Like Bob said, just make the move. Do something. Don't sit still. There's money out there. We know guys are hurting for it. Let us help you, or let someone help you, but the money's available.
And I would agree. And I think it's important as leaders and as individuals to know that, you know, one thing God gave every single creature that he put on the earth was the ability to cry out for help. And so instinctively, he gave us help resources and tools here in our great state. And Houston's phenomenal at sliding in. Craig, I know you played a huge role in helping people get back on their feet through Harvey. And when we look out into the business world, we don't see companies that are underwater, but we don't know that they might be underwater inside those doors.
That's right. So
that gift of being able to ask for help doesn't mean you're in a bad spot. It just means you're human. You're facing obstacles. And so as a business owner, if you don't know who to turn to, reach out. I know Craig, Bob, myself, the organization, the Economic Alliance, is solely committed to finding solutions for their members. And if you're not a member, they're committed because they're committed to the economy and they're committed to our region. And so it's important to reach out, to engage, to ask questions. If that person can't get you the answer, I can tell you right now, I can name 100 great people that serve inside that organization and that serve in this region that if they can't find an answer for you, they're going to find one through their channel and through their network. And so, gentlemen, I know both of you act that way, serve that way. Again, if you're watching this video, it's Robert Stabell or Bob Stabell and Craig LaGrappe, LaGrappe. They're both with ABGI, members of the Economic Alliance. And again, Craig, I know you handle most of the outside relationships. So how does somebody reach out to you? What's the easiest way to get a hold of you so they can connect?
Yeah, if they just dial the number 281-914-3600, shoot us an email, go to the website. You can connect with us there, abgi-usa.com. We'll have someone reach back out to them shortly. And we're here, again, to help out in this, you know, tough time. It's a really tough time.
Well, we appreciate you, gentlemen. Bob, thank you very much for y'all's service and for getting out there and trying to make an impact. And, again, to our audience, stay tuned. Over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to continue to bring on relevant topics and people to the platform for our Gulf Coast Growth Show for the Economic Alliance to help share the story of how differences are being made. We've got people coming in all the way from industrial to petrochem to logistics to transport, even to our local politicians to help discuss some of the things that are taking place. So our next 30 days is chock full of opportunities and communication to help share the story of what's taking place and how we bounce back and become Houston strong as we always have been. Again, tune into the show. You can follow us on YouTube, the Facebook channel, LinkedIn. And if you want to contact me directly, easiest thing to do is just message me directly. I'm Jason Lee through Exponent Advisors on LinkedIn. I'm easy to find. And we'd love to get connected with you. And then again, reach out to the Economic Alliance, their website anytime. If you can contact the marketing department if you want more information on how you can participate or engage with the organization. Look forward to seeing you guys on our next episode, and have a good day.